I'm reading from the Old Testament from 2 Kings chapter 22, and it's about the finding of the book of the law. So it's chapter 22, verse 1 to 11, and then chapter 23, 1, 2, 3. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent his secretary Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest and make him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Make them entrust it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple, and make these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also, make them purchase timber and dress stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are acting faithfully." Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple." Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, "Hilkiah has given me a book," and Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant.
I wonder, have you ever found something valuable? Don't know if you've ever been in your attic and you look through boxes, or you've been to your grandparents' house maybe at some point and you find something valuable. Or maybe your fridge. You've had all your Christmas food and you forgot that chocolate bar that you bought for Christmas and you hadn't eaten it yet. It's like, oh, well, that's a pleasant surprise, isn't it? It's amazing when we do find things that are precious. Let's have a look at three things that were found, not in attics, but things that changed our understanding of history. We go to the first slide. Lost items found. I wonder if, does anyone recognise any of those three things? the Rosetta Stone that was found in Rosetta. Why was that important? Exactly. No one understood hieroglyphics until they got the Rosetta Stone. And suddenly we thought, oh, there's three languages. If we can match that up with that language, we'll start to understand what hieroglyphics mean. So the Rosetta Stone. What about the one below? That beige one. No, but it's that area. This is Pilate's Stone, found in Caesarea. We have in scripture all about Pontius Pilate, and people thought at one stage, oh, it's just Christians making up history, until they discovered in Caesarea, hello, here's a stone, and inscribed is the name Pontius Pilate. And now that third one, which is closer to home. Richard III was buried in that car park right under the letter R. How amazing is that? I mean, why do they have R? I mean, if I was buried under there, you could have J, could you? There you go. Things that were really important that were found. And today's story, we're looking at a lovely story, actually, about young Josiah, who became king at 8. If we put a picture of Josiah up, there were no photographs in those days, but there should be a picture. There we are, very kingly. You never see pictures of kings looking out of shape and just out of bed, do you? They all look kind of magnificent. And he lived from 640 to 609 BC, and you can find all about his life in 2 Kings, chapters 22 and 23, and in Chronicles is also the story of Josiah. Now, he became a king as an 8-year-old boy. Imagine in a few years' time letting Elisha rule this country. Elisha, what rules would you have for Great Britain? And he will just say lots of Kinder chocolate for everybody and everything like that. But he had a really bad beginning. When you look up the life of his dad and his granddad, he didn't particularly have a good start in life. First of all, his great-granddad. Does anyone know who his great-granddad was? His great-granddad was Hezekiah, who, of course, is spoken positively in Scripture. But Hezekiah was then succeeded by Manasseh. That was his granddad, Manasseh. He was absolutely evil. He made pagan idols. He stuck them in God's temple. He encouraged the people of Israel to go astray. He was a pagan. He was into witchcraft, sorcery, the occult. And it was so bad that God brought judgment and he was taken away as a prisoner. When Manasseh died, then we had Amon. He was a king before Josiah. He was 22 when he became king, and he reigned for 2 years. He was so evil that his people assassinated him. He was so evil, he was assassinated. I worked out that Josiah was probably, well, as an 8-year-old boy, can you imagine an 8-year-old boy hearing about his father being assassinated? But it said that Amon did evil in the sight of the Lord, like his dad Manasseh. They both abandoned the Lord. They refused to obey. So what was encouraging about Josiah? Because today we can look at our country, can't we? And often we say, well, children today are not learning about God. And we see our country perhaps falling apart because they're rejecting God. And we can be very negative and give up hope. This story shows that just because the generation above reject God, the generation below doesn't have to. And Josiah, he chose not to reject God. In fact, he destroyed the idols and the temples and he got rid of the priests. He completely purged the land of paganism. He wanted to make God the Lord of his life and his country. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And that all stemmed because they found in the temple the law. They obviously didn't have it. They didn't know anything about it. And they found it. And Josiah had it read. And he tore his clothes. And it's a challenge because if that's how Josiah felt after hearing God's word, how seriously do we take sin? Sin around us, sin in our lives. When we think of sin, do we tear our clothes? Do we get angst like, Lord, this is so serious? You see, we so understand grace, and that's a positive. But we can cheapen grace because it's just a little sin. I had 4 chocolates and not 2. Oh, it's gluttony. That's not right, is it? And sometimes when we do something wrong, we justify ourselves. We want to say, well, it's not as bad, really. No, it is bad. And it drove Josiah to the point of, I want to repent. I want to repent. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but Josiah was prophesied in 1 Kings 13. You had King David, he was the king of Israel, and then Solomon. And do you remember there was another guy that wanted to challenge him? You had Rehoboam and Jeroboam, the two, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. One was king of the north and one was king of the south. Well, they were into paganism, and the prophet went to Jeroboam and said, and I just need to find where I am in my notes for that. In 1 Kings 13:1-3. Let me read these words. By the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel. As Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering to a pagan god, by the word of the Lord, the prophet cried out against the altar. Altar, altar, this is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you he will sacrifice the priests and of the high places who make offerings here, and human bones will be burned on you. That same day, the man of God gave a sign. This is a sign the Lord has declared. The altar will be split apart, and the ashes on it would be poured out. That prophecy was 300 years before Josiah's life. So when people say, oh, the Bible's not real, or fiction, amazing, this prophecy was 300 years before Josiah was actually born. They named him. There is going to be this man called Josiah, and he's going to rid this land of paganism. He's going to destroy the priests and the high places. Part of his covenant that he made with God is probably reference to Deuteronomy 6. As they read the law, and he realized, if this is what God's saying, and our land is full of paganism, we have well and truly fallen short. Let me read what God says in his word in Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Deuteronomy 6, part of the Torah, part of the law. And here we have Josiah. His response was, we have sinned. This cannot be right. And he repented. If we go to the next slide. So when Josiah makes this covenant with his people, there are three things. So this covenant, because we made one today, well, Josiah made a covenant, and there are three parts that made this covenant. There was a commitment to repent. You can't make a covenant if you don't get rid of the idols. He had to repent. They had to purge the land of idolatry. And if you want to prosper in your relationship with Jesus Christ, and you have something in your life that is holding you back, get rid of it. Tell it to go. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 29 to 30, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to depart into hell. Jesus was serious about repentance. Now, Jesus didn't mean that, you know. Well, you know, I'm a big head. I'm arrogant. Oh, just chop your head off. He didn't mean that, no. What he's saying is, you've got to take it by the root. If there's something in your life that is causing you to sin, then get rid of it. Have accountability even. Get someone to ask how things are going. Because people struggle with all sorts. Oh, spending. Or for some people, it's pornography. For some people, it's greed. For some people, it's gossip. You know the story, don't you, about the pastor and three people. And the first person said, oh, you know, I was a murderer once and God's forgiven me. And the next person said, oh, I was a thief and God's forgiven me. And the third person said, I'm a gossip and I can't wait to get out of here to tell everybody. Repentance. It's something that isn't taught much in church. We all say God loves you, and that is absolutely true. God loves you. He really does. But part of your relationship with following Jesus is repentance. It's to turn the other way. Get rid of it. If something's holding you back, get rid of it. If you're watching a program that's making you more cynical, get rid of it. If there's music that you listen to that's really manipulating you, get rid of it. Take it by the root. Put it out and repent. The next one is the commitment to follow. It says that Josiah followed the Lord. As Christians, we follow Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus says about following him. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them. There is a commitment, isn't there, to follow Jesus. It's not a cultural thing. Maybe many years ago, oh yeah, we all follow Jesus, yeah, but my life's really easy. But I'll tell you what, who finds it easy to go out there and tell people about Jesus? It's not easy. Who finds it easy to talk to your family about Jesus? It's not easy. Being a Christian shouldn't be easy. when we become members of this church. It's not about, okay, I'm a member of Eastgate Union Church, what am I going to receive? What am I going to get? No, no, it's not about that. It's what can you give? It's not telling Jesus, what can I receive? It's about, what can I give? I come to church, and actually it's not just about what I'm receiving from God. It's what can I, how can I minister to you? How can we encourage one another? There is an element of sacrifice. Following Jesus requires sacrifice. And the last commitment is a commitment to keep his commands. Josiah loved the law of the Lord. He says in Psalm 119, which we think David wrote, "Oh, how I love your law. All day I long it to be my meditation. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are always with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I discern more than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I've kept my feet from every evil path, that I may keep your word. I've not departed from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Josiah heard the word of the Lord and loved it. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Part of our love for Jesus Christ is keeping his commands. And John 13, 34, 35, as we said in the covenant, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciple, if you love one another." Are you loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul? Are you loving one another? Are you loving people within the church and outside of the church? How are you getting on with this? So today, we made a covenant. Let us be faithful in keeping this covenant with one another. But let's take repentance seriously. Let's follow Jesus sacrificially. And let's love one another. Amen.